Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Passaic, New Jersey, and became a basketball coach, first in high school, then in college, and finally for two seasons with the Pistons. In 1979, he joined the then-fledgling ESPN cable network as a college basketball broadcaster. 32 years later, he's famous for his trademark catchphrases, including Diaper Dandy, PD Peer, Trifecta, and Awesome Baby. His name? Dick Vitale. Dickie V. Awesome Baby. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Jack Rasula. I'm with Anything Is Possible. And our guest today is Dickie V. Awesome Baby. Dick, what an honor to have you.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure being on. I love the Motor City area. It's been so good to me in my career. As I stated when I was back there when they named the court after me, Jack, really a special time in my life living there 15 years.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, you know, I grew up in a great family. I grew up in a family that was filled with so much love. As I said recently on my website, if people go to DickVitaleOnline.com or they go to my, when I tweet on my Twitter, Dickie V, just Twitter.com/Dickie V, I did a whole thing around New Year's that the greatest gift of all is the gift of love. I mean, I grew up in an environment that financially it wasn't like the life I'm living now. I had a mother and father that worked in a factory. My dad pressed coats. The more coats he pressed, the more money he made. My mother, she sewed coats down our cellar. She would drag her leg, Jack, up and down the steps after having a stroke, and my dad would bring coats home, and she would sew them, and I watched this, and I learned so much. I learned about love. I learned about family. I learned about the ability to persevere and push and try to do the best you can, and I miss my mom and dad so much.
You've said many, many times that they didn't have much of an education, but they gave you a doctorate in love.
Yeah, I really believe that. I think that's vital in the growing up of any child, is to feel that love. And I know I always felt that as a youngster, no matter what the dilemma may be, no matter what happened in my life, and we all have ups and downs. Nobody lives a smooth life. I lost my eye as a child. And when I lost that eye, my mother and father didn't allow me to have that as an alibi or an excuse. And they taught me never, ever, ever to believe in can't. I tell it to young people. I do a lot of motivational speaking across this country, and I tell people, whether it be in sales, whether it be in the corporate world, whether it be at high school level, banquets, whatever, I tell them, make sure in your life, never, ever believe in can't. Always believe and think that you're as good as anyone else, and pursue your goals and your dreams to the best of your ability. Because, Jack, I define winning very simply. Winning is the ability of an individual in pursuit of any goal or dream to be able to look in that mirror and simply say, I gave my best. Unfortunately, Jack, there are a lot of people that talk the game, but they don't really live the game because they play the con game. And, you know, you can con anybody you want. You can con your bosses. You can con your coaches. You can con your mom and dad. But you can't con the mirror. When you look at the mirror at the end of the night, that mirror knows whether or not you have lived your life in a positive manner.
Dick Vitale, where'd you get your love for basketball, and how did you ever get hired by the University of Detroit?
Well, you know, my love for basketball started as a youngster. I just absolutely became a fanatical guy in the world of sports. I mean, I just loved all sports, especially the traditional ones, baseball, basketball, football. Grew up in the metropolitan New York area, living in New Jersey, and my mother and father each had 9 brothers and sisters, and a lot of my uncles were absolutely fanatical sports fans, and they really got me involved, got me really going to games at a very early age, and I just became absolutely enamored with the sports world and used to check the sports pages. I mean, religiously study the batting averages and really know inside out who was scoring. I just fell in love with it. Coaching became part of my life when I decided to enter the teaching world. And it really is something I love doing. I love working with young people, and I really, really enjoyed it. I taught in the elementary school for about a decade and coached on a high school level, was blessed to have some great kids and helped us win back-to-back state championships and go undefeated. And really, those were great, great times.
You coached a couple years, making $15,000 at U of D, and then Bill Davidson hires you to be the coach of the Pistons.
Well, you know, probably one of my big mistakes of my career, because really people should understand and study their strengths, their weaknesses, and my strength belonged in college. I was all about passion. I was all about energy, enthusiasm, excitement. But, you know, obviously the NBA is very enticing. You're dealing with the greatest athletes of them all. You're dealing in another world financially. And the ego and the status. I mean, think about my career. I mean, 1970, I'm teaching the sixth grade, coaching in high school. In 78, I have Bill Davidson, who's a beautiful man, who really gave me an opportunity, and I've always felt I let him down because I never really lived up to what he thought about me. And really, unfortunately, we didn't have the kind of talent that I thought we would be able to have to win, and we didn't win. And obviously, when you don't win, the coach gets fired.
After you got fired, you were moping around the house, you were in a depression, and your wife, Lorraine, said, enough of this, you got to get out there. And a man named Scotty Connell calls you.
Yeah, it really changed my life. You never know. I tell people all the time, you never know where you can be and can change your life. And certainly mine changed when at U of D we played Michigan NCAA tournament, played them in the round of 16. Game was televised, NBC regionally. John Wooden, Kirk Gowdy doing the announcing. I was in awe. They came to a practice. I spoke to my team, and I was introduced to Scotty Connell. And Scotty wrote my name down, he said. And I said he heard me speak to my team. And when I got fired by the Pistons, he called and said, hey, I just been named the head of a new network, ESPN. I want you to do our very first game. I thought, it's ESPN, man. That sounds like a disease. What is ESPN? And gave me that game, DePaula, Wisconsin. And Jack, I can't believe it. 32 years later, I'm still talking basketball. They pay me well, allow me to live a really great life. I've always felt that if I stayed in coaching, that I probably would have been dead by 50. I could not handle losing. Losing tore my insides apart.
We're talking to Dick Vitale, college basketball's biggest ambassador. And I'm Jack Rasulin. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back. We're with Dick Vitale, who called ESPN's first ever NCAA basketball game, as he mentioned in the last segment, Wisconsin at DePaul, Ray Meyer, December 5th, 1979. What do you remember about that first ESPN game?
Well, I remember coming in real late. I didn't realize you had to be there early. I thought I was real early, getting here about an hour before game time, and producer going wild. I remember people talking to my ear, and me basically, yes, oh no, going to commercial, yes, okay, and they're yelling, you're on TV. And I mean, it was really such a new thing for me. But I had a lot of fun. The one thing I loved, I was sitting at courtside talking about a game I love, and I remember when I got done, the boss, Scotty Connell, called me the next day, and he basically told me, he said, hey, you got three things we can't teach. You're candid, you have knowledge of the game, and you're very enthusiastic. But you have no clue about the world of television. He said, I'm going to assign you a pros pro, a superstar in broadcasting, Jim Simpson, and he's going to help you. Well, he did. And Jim was great to me, and they taught me many of the things that really are involved in the world of television. And, wow, and I've had myself a career that's really exceeded any dream that I ever had.
1,000 games broadcast later, Dick Vitale, what's the greatest game you ever called?
You know, it's a tough question, Jack. We were talking about that the other day. So I did a great game just recently between Indiana and Kentucky when Indiana won at the buzzer and they had a Bloomington. And I would rate that as one of my top five. Probably one that stands out to me really was Michael Jordan as a sophomore playing against Ralph Sampson, Virginia leading late in the game, minute to go. It looks like Virginia's got the game won, number one against number three in the nation, Virginia number one. And out of the blue, the just absolutely magical play of Michael Jordan, and they go on to come back. Carolina with an incredible comeback, and they win. That was a really, really special game.
I was watching that Indiana-Kentucky a month or so ago, and near the end of the game, Kentucky was way behind. They're coming back, and you were going to a commercial, and you said this: don't go away. Call your friends. This one's going down to the wire, baby. So, and it was a classic.
It was a classic. Really, it became part of ESPN Classic immediately. I mean, the crowd, I'd be honest with you, Jack, I was really scared. The way the fans came running on the court, over the top, and fortunately for us, the Bloomington, the Indiana University Police Force did a fantastic job. They surrounded our table and really did a great job protecting us because it got a little bit scary there for a while.
The thing that amazed me was at the end of the game, the whole court is loaded with red fans, and still the whole stands are loaded. They must have let them in from outside or something. So,
well, I'll tell you, it was just an incredible moment, and certainly the first step in Hoosier basketball coming back to the, you know, the great years, certainly that they had during the Bob Knight era when he led them to three national titles. It's really been a tough time since. But Tom Crean has them going in the right way. Now they have the win over number one and also over number two, having beaten Ohio State as well.
Yes. Talking about incredible, Dick Vitale, how do you explain March Madness?
You know, March Madness is just the time of the year where everyone gets involved. I don't care if they know college basketball. Grandma, grandpa, everybody puts on their sweatshirt. They pick a team they love, maybe a school they went to, maybe a school their child went to, and everybody gets into a frenzy, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more exciting. It really is. It's kids play for the passion of it. It's all about the name of the jersey on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey, and really it just creates so much spirit. And I think it's the one-game scenario. You know, you have one bad game, the party's over. Because a lot of times you look at a super team, 4 out of 7, you're not going to beat them like any NBA. But one night, you could have that one magical night, and you could win.
Dick Vitale, what do all the great coaches and managers have in common?
You know, the ability to lead, the ability to be a leader, the ability to get people to function as a unit, to understand strengths, weaknesses, and most of all, to get them to really compete as a team. I've often said in speaking, whether it's the corporate world or whether it's the athletic world, whatever world you're living in, you know, you have a team. It's T for togetherness, E for effort, A for attitude, M for mental toughness. Everybody going in the same direction, pursuing the same goal and dream, just like what you have now going on with the Lions in football. You know, they finally, playoffs, back again, getting into that frenzy. Tigers, baseball, Jim Leland doing a phenomenal job. Now you got a new coach at the Pistons, trying to get everybody to go in that same direction. Hockey, they've done that for years. They've been so successful.
Arguably the best ever college basketball coach, John Wooden. What did you learn from Coach Wooden?
You know, Coach Wooden obviously was a man that he was all about the team. He was all about being unselfish. He was all about people sharing with one another, doing things the right way, how to make sure you make that one extra pass for a better shot, all about discipline, all about living your life to its fullest. Don't spend time. I remember talking to Coach Wooden, and he shared with me, too many people, he said, Dick, too many people spend time being envious of others instead of just pursuing their own dreams and goals. I've never sat back and been jealous of anybody. I've just been simply, you know, wanting to be the best I can be in whatever I do. I mean, obviously, I'd be jealous of a guy like, you know, I'd like to have a hairdo like maybe Tom Cruise or his looks like Tom Cruise. It's not going to happen, baby. So you're what you are.
Dick Vitale, very few people are more famous after their death than during their life. One such person, Jimmy V, Jim Valvano. What made him so special?
Well, you know, Jimmy had that great enthusiasm, the excitement, and certainly winning that national title in 83, where he was looking for somebody to hug and running around the court, and was it David against a Goliath, with, you know, Houston being so good with Olajuwon and all their great players, Drexler. But it was his enthusiasm, his passion, his spirit. And really, to me, Jack, his legacy will not be that national championship. To me, his legacy is going to be the fact that over $115 million has been raised for research through the V Foundation for cancer research. And I'm very proud to be a member of the board of directors of the V Foundation. Every dollar that we raise, every dollar, goes to research. Our dollars do not go. We have an endowment of $17 million, and off that endowment, all the expenses are paid for operating the foundation. And I'm really proud also of my Dick Vitale Gala, which every year we have. We're having it this year on May 18th. We're going to honor Lou Holtz, Gary Williams, and Jay Wright of Villanova. And we're going to raise in one night over $1 million for kids battling cancer. Anybody would like information about the event? It's in a beautiful resort, the Ritz-Carlton, Sarasota. Just go to DickVitaleOnline.com. DickVitaleOnline.com. And you can get more information about the event. And if you can't come, you can make a donation, and you ultimately might save the life of someone you love. Cancer affects all, whether you're rich or poor, black or white. It doesn't matter. It'll bring you to your knees.
We're talking to Dick Vitale. When we come back, we'll ask him about getting into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2008. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. We're talking to Dick Vitale with the Vitaleisms, Diaper Dandy, Petey Pier, Trifecta, Awesome Baby. Dick, let's jump to 2008, and you get into the Basketball Hall of Fame with Pat Riley, Olajuwon, and the man that fired you, Bill Davidson.
Yeah, you know, it was very special. I was happy to see Mr. Davidson able to fulfill that moment and to be living for that time. And really, it was great seeing him as well. I always thanked him because, obviously, he gave me a chance, gave me an opportunity to put on my resume, high school coach, college coach, NBA coach. But there's no doubt my arrival in the Hall of Fame was based as a contributor in terms of my years at ESPN. And really, it was just a special moment. I can't tell you, you know, the thrill it is. I will never forget, I got so many phone calls from people I hadn't heard from. And then I got one that stood out, and one I'll always remember, and I'll treasure. I got a phone call from the former Piston superstar, Hall of Famer, Bob Lanier. And Bob left a message. He said, "Dickie V, we weren't together very long as a player and a coach. We didn't spend much time together, but we will be together now forever in the greatest club of all, the National Basketball Hall of Fame, only reserved for a special amount of people." Wow. I tell you, that just floored me. Because when you think about it, Jack, all the people involved in this game for so many years, there's like about 400, 450 people in the Hall of Fame. And to be there and have your picture right up there, and you see Michael Jordan and your picture, I mean, it's something I know my grandchildren are between ages 6 and 10. They were out there with me for that event. And I know that as they get older, they'll be able to go there when I'm long and gone and say, "Wow, that was my papa, man." Just like naming the court. Naming the court at UND was so special and so emotional, probably more emotional to me than the Hall of Fame. I mean, I broke up and cried. Why? Because Detroit, the university, gave me a chance where nobody even knew I was and gave me an opportunity. And without that happening, without coaching in Titan territory, there's no Dickie V. There is no Hall of Fame. There is none of the things that have happened in my life.
That was December 5th of 2011, which was a fabulous night for everybody in Detroit. Let's talk about another fabulous day, 11-11-11, the USS Carl Vinson, UNC plays MSU basketball on that nuclear aircraft carrier. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was real special. You know, obviously, having a chance the day before, I spoke to some of the troops and gave them a little talk and told them how much we loved them and how they really, to me, when you talk heroes, we're not really in the sports world. These people, to allow you and I, for example, to be able to do this interview on Sunday night, to allow us to do this because they protect us. And I thanked them so much and told them how much we, as Americans, love them for what they do for us. And then to have a quality basketball team playing like Michigan State and an absolute super team like North Carolina, two great coaches, Hall of Famer Roy Williams, future Hall of Famer Tom Izzo, and then to have the president and his wife there and then meet the president, it was quite a thrill. It's been an incredible year for me. I got a couple of bucket list items taken care of. I got a chance to meet Pope Benedict the 16th at his summer home down there at Castel Gandolfo outside of Rome, and I got a chance that summer to do that, and I got a chance at the first game there to meet the president. So it's been a great, great bucket year.
And you brought the president over to meet your broadcast team. So.
Yeah, I brought him over, and funny part about it, he said, who's going to take the picture? I said, she is. I said, she. He said, really? And we were joking. I said, that's my wife. He said, your wife? He goes, Dickie V, how did you get so lucky to get such a beautiful wife, you being so ugly? And I just thought he was as regular as can be, and we just had a nice conversation. I said, Mr. President, you haven't done too badly either.
Speaking of how did it come to be, Dick, you're blind in one eye. You're bald. So am I. You're north of 70. How do you explain this love affair between all of America and Dickie V?
You know, I really, you know, there's people love you, people that disagree with you. If you don't say something about their team, people hear what they want to hear. But I really, I love people. And the fans have been great to me. When I go to games, I get goosebumps when I hear them chant Dickie V and take pictures with them. I love sharing moments with fans as much as possible. I love being with them. I love being part of that whole scene. And it's been great for me. I absolutely, you know, benefit from as well as they do, you know, meeting fans every day. I go to a place where I live called the Broken Egg Restaurant. I'm there every day, whenever I'm home, from about 9:30 in the morning to a little bit after noon. I do all my work down there, interviews, etc. I do a lot of things, sign autographs, books, sell merchandise with all my dollars from books and balls going toward my $1 million. I don't make 5 cents off the sale of any item. But, you know, I just have a great time. In fact, we better get credit. I had breakfast here 2 days ago with Mark Hollis, the AD, John Lewandowski, PR director, and football coach Mark D'Antonio before they played in the Outback Bowl, which they won that scintillating game. But we had breakfast, all of us together, 8 in the morning at the Broken Egg, spent a couple hours together, had a great time. So you tell Mr. D'Antonio and the people in Spartanland, I motivated him.
You brought him victory, Dickie V. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Coach Tom Izzo.
You know, he's a paisan, too. Linguini, rigatoni. He's got that personality. He's honest. He's a guy of great integrity. He's about loyalty. He's about dedication. He's about the team. He's about the school. He actually bleeds Spartan green. I mean, he's just a really terrific guy. We honored Tom down here for our V Foundation event about 2 years ago. And I can tell you this, he brought the house down. We had Magic Johnson introduce Tom Izzo, Magic being one of my favorite people of all time. He represents every – I tell people all the time, if there's one player that I could pick that I would have loved to coach, it would have been Irvin because he loves to play. There's nothing about him that's phony. It's all genuine. It's real. Loves to play. Has passion. And he gave a great introduction of Tom Izzo, the man. And we, you know, raised a lot of money that night, over $1 million. And I can't thank Tom enough. He's just beautiful, beautiful people. So is his wife. He's overachieved in marriage. Lupe is an absolute superstar.
The Vitalisms, Diaper Dandy, Dipsy Doo, Dunkaroo, Donut Offense, Dow Joneser. Where do you come up with all these things?
You know, really locker room talk, dealing with players, hearing some conversations. Sometimes I get little notes from fans, and I say, yeah, I'm going to use it, and I'll get credit, and you won't. But, no, it's just a lot of talk. Hey, coach, give me some PT. I need some playing time. Hey, coach, he's not giving me the rock, coach, the basketball. Coach, you know, I need a TO, baby. I'm going to get a timeout. So just little lingo, and it's really amazing how it's taken off. I mean, I can't spend probably a day of my life whenever I go to a lobby of a hotel or I go to a restaurant, somebody inevitably is going to come over and say, hey, am I awesome, baby? Do I need a TO, baby? And it's really, it blows my mind. I always tell my wife, I can't imagine. Look what I've created.
Does your wife, Lorraine, let you talk like that in the house, though?
My wife, Lorraine, is as special as it gets. As all the coaches say, you talk about sainthood. Living with me, can you imagine, Jack, living with me 40-plus years? We're going on our 41st. I tell people all the time, I am blessed that intellectually and physically, my daughters, Terry and Sherry, take after their mother. They went to Notre Dame, got their master's at Notre Dame. I couldn't spell Notre Dame. I was so dumb. And my two sons-in-laws are both Notre Dame grads as well. That's why football weekends, I'm not a broadcaster. I go to about four Notre Dame games a year, cheer, get involved. I mean, I really have a great, great time being just a dad. Very proud. I'm very proud of my family. That's my number one. People that know me really well know that the number one priority in my life is my family.
Dick, you're 72. How long are you going to keep doing this?
I don't know, Jack. You know, people ask all the time. Who knows? When you're 72, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes, never mind down the road. I mean, if I had it my way, I'd go on forever. But obviously, I know the clock's going to put an end to that, and it'll be a real, I know I'll be very, very emotional.
We're talking to Dick Vitale, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back. We're with Dick Vitale. Awesome baby. Diaper dandy baby. Basketball's biggest ambassador. And a phenomenal American. Dick, a lot of the younger people don't know about Pistol Pete Maravich and what he did for the game of college basketball.
Well, you talk about a magician. I mean, Pistol Pete was just a one-man. He was like a concert. You go watch him play between the legs, around the back, shooting jump shots. I mean, the guy averaged better than 40 points a game. Think about that. That means if you got 25, you got to come back and get 60. And he did it in an era where it wasn't a three-point shot. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. He was such an incredible ball handler. Till this day, there are a lot of players out there on a daily basis utilize the Maravich drills. I just had my grandsons just recently look at a videotape of Pistol Pete with him explaining some of his ball handling drills that he did as a kid. He's made such an impact on the game, lost his life so early. And I remember talking to his dad years and years ago. I think it was up at Kutcher's camp. And he was saying, I got a son, man. You watch when I do some of these drills, I'm going to bring him out. And, you know, you think, well, a typical father bragging about a kid. Wow. You sat there, you could not believe what you were watching.
You mentioned that MSU recently beat Georgia in the Outback Bowl. Senior quarterback Kirk Cousins. He gave a speech recently in Chicago at a Big Ten luncheon. It's making its way on YouTube across America, where he talked about how privileged he's been his whole life. And then he talks about that people ask him, well, why don't you have an entitlement culture then? And he said, no, when you're privileged, the last thing you should be is entitled. You should be grateful forever. You've kept your gratefulness, and you've stayed appreciative. How have you done that, Dick Vitale?
Well, you know, I think you got to have every day of my life. I look at the things I have today, reflect back on my childhood. I reflect back to my mom and dad, watching how hard they worked. I mean, my father started in the morning, 7 a.m., go to the factory, press coats. The more coats he pressed, the more money he made. And it was by piecework, hot, unbelievable summertime in that hot factory, pressing coats. Came home, we had dinner, 5 o'clock, let's say. Mom puts the dinner on the table. We'd eat, and you learned right at that table. I learned about the ability to love. I learned about family. I learned about punctuality. I learned about loyalty. I learned about, you know, caring about one another, sharing, all the things that are vital in life. It was a learning experience. And then my dad would put on a security guard uniform on, and he'd go walk the mall from 6 to 12. I'm getting paid mega dollars for sitting at courtside for Michigan State and, let's say, a game with Ohio State, a Kentucky, Florida, a Duke, North Carolina, Indiana, Kentucky. Are you serious? I mean, is it fair? My heart bleeds for all those out there who economically are struggling, who really don't have really great right now in their lives, battling maybe some diseases, et cetera. I hate to see people suffer, but I will simply tell them this. The greatest gift of all, and I had it as a child, was the gift of love. There's no gift better than that. You don't need money to have a gift of love. You don't need it. We didn't have it in my house, but we had so much love and enjoyed every moment, every moment. I miss those days. I tell it to my family. I tell it to my grandkids. I tell it to my daughters. One of the greatest thrills I get every year, Jack, is we host a party at my house for the neediest kids at the Boys and Girls Club. We've been doing it for years, my wife and I, and my kids. I have my wife and daughters who spend some serious dollars. I mean, we don't go out and buy just a little shirt. We find out these kids, we want to find out they want a computer, they want a bicycle. They've never had these things. And we have them under our tree. We have a Santa Claus at our house, and we host this party. And I look at the eyes and the faces of these kids, and it makes me feel like $1 million, because there's no greater gift. My parents taught me this. They taught me always to say to me, Richie, be good to people, and people will be good to you. I can't tell you. My wife always says, you get a bigger thrill. I'm watching those kids open those gifts. I mean, are you kidding me? Seeing a little girl at 6 getting her first wristwatch, and she's like, you know, tears coming out of her eyes. And I mean, it is a time that I enjoy. People, if they want to see those kids and see what I'm talking about, again, they're all up on my website. You just go to some of my blogs and hit the blogs, go to the archives, go back around Christmas time, and you could see these beautiful kids. And I told them, I gave them a speech. I have them sit down. I said, look, chase your dreams. Life's been a little tough for you, but nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Today, there's so many opportunities, and obviously, somebody loves you. You wouldn't be at my house today. Someone at the Boys and Girls Club cared about you to make you available to come here. And I said, maybe one day, one of you can host a party and say, wow, I was inspired by Dick Vitale. I said, you don't know how much that would make me feel. I probably wouldn't be around at the time, but I know it would be a feeling. I said, you can do it. You can do it. And then I had my son-in-law speak to them. He's the youngest circuit court judge in the state of Florida in his 30s, and had him talk to them about decision-making. Had my other son talk to him, who came and had to bust his gut and borrow money to be a surgeon. And he talked to the kids here at my house about how he became a surgeon and had dreams. To me, giving back, Jack, that's what life's about. And that's what I'm trying now more than ever in my life, more than ever, saying thank you, by giving back, because so many people, you don't get in the Hall of Fame. You don't have courts named after you by you yourself. It's a team, man. It's people. People. I think in Detroit, the people, I miss so many names, the Denny Flynns, the Madeline Wards. I think about all the people over the years, Dick Letcher and all those people, Bob Cisai, and all of them that really played a part of my life. Rocky Ross is not here anymore from Sibley Shoes. A great guy. Great guy. I think about all these people that really went to bat for me when I was a nobody. The Stan Bartnickys, the Arnold Mastoras, and oh my God, it goes on and on the list.
The most used phrase in the Bible, Dick Vitale, is be not afraid. And a lot of Americans today are afraid. What do you say to them?
You know, there's a lot of people that fear failure, so they don't attempt things. I've failed a lot of things in my life, but I'm not going to be afraid to try. I'm going to try to be the best I can at whatever I do. It may not always work out, but you got to be able to take that chance, take an opportunity. I've often said, harder I work, the luckier I get. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. A genius is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. An All-American is an ordinary person with extraordinary desire to be the best they can be. And that's a winner, my friends, a winner in the game of life, the game that you play, Jack, the game that I play. And all I could simply say to everyone out there, look in that mirror every night when the night ends. Have some little goals. I still have goals. I write down sometimes on a piece of paper what I want to achieve for that day. And at the end of the day, be able, when you're washing your face and you're brushing your teeth, be able to look straight at that mirror and not be embarrassed, humiliated, and simply say, I did the best today, man. The best I can be to be the better person today than I was yesterday.
Last question, Dick Vitale. What role has faith played in your life?
Well, you know, everybody has their own religious beliefs, and I respect all of that. But I grew up as a Catholic. I grew up, Mass is very important to me. I don't say this to brag. I say it because I believe it, and I feel it. I feel it in that I have not missed Mass. I can't tell you. I'll bet you it's better than 25 years that I have not missed a Mass Saturday or Sunday, except for maybe once I was in a hospital and they came in my room, a priest. I feel lost. I feel lost. I don't have any excuses. You know, do a game on Saturday, get home, you know, at an hour. There are a number of Masses available during the day for me to go to. And I just simply, like I said, I respect anyone's views. I don't go out there talking about what I'm doing. That's my own private world. But I believe faith is very important to my family.
Mr. Dick Vitale, you're an American treasure, and you truly live love every day. Thanks a million for sharing with us.
Jack, thank you so much. And if I could just close with simply saying, people, go to my website, DickVitaleOnline.com, and help us with our battle against cancer. No child should do chemotherapy and radiation. They should be playing. Please help us end this disease.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.